Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to Orange and Blue Bloods, hosted by EJ Stewart and Tommy Beard. Let's get to it, New York.
So let's talk about All-Star Weekend. Julius Randle is headed to Utah. He was named among the Eastern Conference reserves for the game, but he will not be alongside his point guard for now. Jalen Brunson, who is having a career year for the Knicks, did not make the All-Star game. He was not named among the Eastern Conference reserves. Randle will be joined by Tyrese Halliburton, Bam Adebayo, Joel Embiid, Jaylen Brown, DeMar DeRozan, and Jrue Holiday. So no Brunson in the East. The West reserves, of course, were announced as well. Ja Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Domantas Sabonis, Lauri Markkanen, Jaren Jackson Jr., Damian Lillard, and Paul George were named the West reserves. Let's start with Jalen Brunson. I will say this. I was very proud of the NBA contingent who seemed to kind of almost unanimously look at him as the worst Eastern Conference snub. I did not expect that. I expected to hear a lot of James Harden beef, which you are still hearing.
Yes.
I expected to hear other players mentioned. But right at the top, Charles Barkley on TNT, when they announced it, said, man, Jalen Brunson not making this. I don't know how that didn't happen. And I go on Twitter and I'm seeing other smart people who I respect in terms of talking about this game, seeing that Jalen Brunson omission and saying, what happened there? How did he not make it? And I said on the last show, I thought that he would make it. I knew it was going to be a tough task because of just how good the guards are in the East. But I got to be honest. I mean, of all the guys that could have been picked ahead of him, I think Jrue Holiday being picked ahead of Jalen Brunson is an abomination. And Jrue Holiday is a champion. He's one of the best defensive players in the NBA. And he's a really good player. The Knicks know because he came to the Garden and after shooting miserably for, 40-something minutes, the last minute, he turned into MJ. It was just raining shots from everywhere on the Garden and stole a win from the Knicks when the Bucks came last to Madison Square Garden. So we know that Jrue Holiday is a very good player. But when you compare their numbers, Brunson has more points. He's shooting a higher percentage. And when you think about his impact on his team compared to Jrue Holiday, who has missed more games than Jalen Brunson, Jalen Brunson's played about 7 or 8 more games than him. And we know how much Giannis is the engine of the Bucks. I just didn't think it was that imperative that the Bucks got 2 All-Stars. I know the Bucks have a better record than the Knicks. So you say, well, they're a better team. So maybe we should reward the team with more All-Stars. But Jalen Brunson has played better than Jrue Holiday this season. And Jalen Brunson has been more valuable to the Knicks and the wins that they have, in my opinion, than I think Jrue Holiday has been for the Bucks and their wins. Jrue Holiday is a great player. He's very important to the Bucks, but there have been a lot of games he didn't play. The Bucks won and they were just fine. When the Knicks, most of the time they don't play with Brunson, they look terrible. Like they won last night, but we forget about that terrible Texas swing where they looked awful in those first 2 games against Dallas where they couldn't close. And then, and then the game against San Antonio where they just looked hapless. Like, when Jalen Brunson doesn't play, the Knicks are a totally different team. And we saw what they were last year without Jalen Brunson. So I thought that it was terrible that he didn't make it. I think you make case that, I had DeMar DeRozan on my team. Like I list them out. My thing is I can't complain about what the guys are without listing out my own list. So I had DeMar DeRozan on there, but I don't think I would pick DeMar DeRozan over Jalen Brunson. This isn't about who the best players in the NBA are. It is about who are the most deserving players based on individual success and team success. And we look at DeMar DeRozan, how terrible the Bulls have been for most of this season and what the Knicks have done this season, a team that we suspect, or at least was seen coming into the year, having less talent. I think DeMar DeRozan could have missed this All-Star game. I know he's a great player. We know he's king of the fourth. But those 2 spots going ahead of Jalen Brunson didn't feel right to me. And I think it's disappointing that he didn't make it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I especially with those two players. I mean, listen, Drew Holiday's a far better defensive player than Brunson, and the Bucks have such a great record. But as you know, Giannis is the engine that drives Milwaukee. And Giannis has been on a tear. I don't know if you guys have kept an eye on it, but over the last five games, Giannis is averaging 42.4 points on 60% shooting, 50.2 rebounds and four assists in 33.4 minutes. I had to check those numbers like four times because I didn't believe
it's crazy.
Crazy. Best player on the planet. But yes, as far as I think he did a good job outlining the reasons for Brunson. And again, the one and I never get too wrapped up in the All-Star stuff. I let my guy EJ handle that. The one thing I was surprised about was the lack of importance they seem to put on availability. In other words, Paul George making it over. Anthony Edwards, who's played leads the league in minutes and played every game, and also De'Aaron Fox, who's been huge for him. Again, it's not the best player. It's the player that deserves to be rewarded for the best first half of the 2022-23 season. But yeah, so I think EJ obviously did a good job laying out the reasons for Brunson's inclusion. Like I said, I think I predicted it on our show Tuesday. Randle would make it on the first vote. I think Brunson does get in here either as an injury replacement or one of the compensatory picks, you know, when they choose the extra two extra players. So I think, long story short, I think Brunson will be in Salt Lake City All-Star weekend. I don't know how good that is because I honestly, part of me would prefer, and I think some Knicks fans would agree, that he get 4 days of rest on a beach somewhere in Cancun. I don't think it would hurt Randle either. Again, those guys have played a ton of minutes. You know, Brunson, the charges he takes and the pounding he takes. I wouldn't mind seeing him getting a few days off, but the NBA does do a good job of, you know, days off before the break, and then they don't play again to that Thursday. So Brunson, and it's not like the All-Star game is taxing in any way, but just the travel, etc. We'll see how that plays out. But for me, just, you know, I think we it's worth taking a few minutes just to, and I reflected back on the newsletter this morning, how remarkable the last 12 months for Julius Randle has been. I looked at his numbers from January of 2022. So obviously last season, he averaged 60 in the month of January, played 14 games, averaged 16 points while shooting below 41% from the floor and below 25% from three-point territory. A ton of turnovers. The Knicks at this point last year were in the middle of a stretch where they lost 14 out of 17 games to ultimately drop 13 games under 500 by early March. It was a lost season and a lost play, you know, and that doesn't even, and the production doesn't even tell the full story of just how detrimental his Randle's attitude and body language and barking were. So for him to, you know, 12 months later to be in the middle of the best season of his career and the Knicks on the verge of, you know, the sixth seed out East, you know, a few games over 500, it really is a testament to, you know, what RJ has put in over the last year. And I thought a guy who's, you know, obviously RJ is a little bit standoffish with the press.
Randle, you mean?
Randle, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Gave some really insightful answers when asked about what the All-Star game meant to him. In particular, he recalled the conversation he had with Johnny Bryant. The Knicks assistant coach, flew out to see Randle this summer. Randle first acknowledged that he didn't touch a ball for 6 weeks, almost 2 months from the season ended. That's very uncommon for star players in the NBA, for any player, really. Some guys, you know, take a few weeks off to let their body heal. Randle acknowledged the mental aspect, the grind was just too much. He needed to step away and did just that. And he didn't talk about what personal stuff kind of was going on. I think we all assumed something was going on in his personal life. Didn't get into that so much. But what he did say about that conversation Johnny Bryant had with him was very interesting. And I'll quote here. Johnny came to me in the beginning of the summer. And I just had, here we go. And we had an honest conversation. It helped me put my ego and pride to the side and adjust my game and look in the mirror and do what was best for the team, Randle explained. Bryant asked about the year before and said, if something along the lines of, if you were your teammates and saw you acting the way you did sometimes with body language, showing frustration, would you want to be your teammate? I said no. So I had to look myself in the mirror and take accountability and get better and learn from it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hard to admit when we do things wrong. It's hard to look in that mirror sometimes. So I want to give credit to Randall for doing just that. Does he still show frustration and does it boil over teammates? Yes. Did he do it at the end of the third quarter when that when he had that turnover with McBride when he's waving him away and then Strus comes down and hit the three? Yes. You know, is that still very frustrating? Absolutely. He's not a perfect player, as we said a million times, but he's a deserving all-star. And there's some credit for a remarkable bounce back. Like I said, I can't remember a player or athlete in recent New York sports history that has had the ups and downs and ups and downs that we've seen from Randall. But he's still standing, still comes to play every night, and he deserves credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the quotes from Johnny Bryant because obviously, or Julius Randle about Johnny Bryant because number one, like you said, Julius deserves a ton of credit because we know he's a prideful guy. So I don't think it's easy for him to take criticism from, you know, people close within the Knicks organization or anybody really about how he was playing. But he was an absolute detriment to the Knicks last season with his play, his body language, his attitude as a leader. It was all just awful. So credit to him for taking that criticism and applying it effectively. I also got to say, when I heard those comments, it really, a light bulb kind of went off in my head about the Knicks' future with their coaching situation. Because I thought it was very interesting to me that Julius Randle was asked a question point blank about just like what changed for you this season. And it was not anything to do with Tom Thibodeau. And we always talk about the relationship between Randle and Tom Thibodeau and Thibodeau always trusting him and that those guys are connected to the hip. But the idea that it wasn't Thibodeau who sat him down and said, hey, you were a nightmare last season. You cannot play that way in order for us to win. It was an assistant coach. You would think assistant coach Johnny Bryant, who is a kind of a rising star amongst the assistant coaching rankings. He's had NBA head coaching interviews in the past few years. Assistant coach though, who has more to lose to stepping to the star player. It wasn't like Randall called him and said, yo, come to the crib. He said, I'm going to your crib. And he said, hey, we need to sit down and talk about what happened last season. It was him to say, this is why you can't act the way you acted and play the way you played last year in order for us to succeed. And Randall, to see that, I saw that and said, wow, the Knicks head coach for the future is in the building and on the bench is just not the guy who's actually standing on the sidelines, drinking the Diet Coke young at the players. It's a guy that's sitting on the bench, usually with a mask on, who's running up and whispering something to Tibbs' ear that Tibbs is probably ignoring and then moving forward. And it's Johnny Bryant. Like so many of Tom Thibodeau's defenders will point to Julius Randle's success as a player and say, well, he's getting the most out of Randle and you have to give him credit for Randle's progression. Now I know I don't have to do that. So that is not an argument for Tom Thibodeau anymore. There's not an argument for Tom Thibodeau that Julius Randle's success this year is because of Tom Thibodeau's trust in him, Tom Thibodeau getting the best out of him. Tom Thibodeau didn't do a damn thing about what Julius Randle and how he was acting last year. And now I know that there's other people in the Knicks organization who can get the best, most out of these players. So now there's not the question of, well, the Knicks don't have another option at head coach. I thought that this was Johnny Bryant's stock going way up in my head regarding his future with the New York Knicks. And Thibodeau's stock, which for me was already, you know, bottom line, basically, just cratering. Because I'm like, wow, the one thing that you usually we can attach to Tom Thibodeau for credit, I can't even do that anymore. It was Johnny Bryant who got Julius Randle to get back to his all-star way. So shout out to Julius Randle and a major shout out to Johnny Bryant for having that honest conversation with Julius Randle, letting him know. Because it felt like there are a lot of people who enabled Julius's behavior last year. And was glad that there was somebody, an adult in that coaching staff, in that front office, I was able to say, this cannot continue, and this is why.
Yeah. You know, Randall did praise, you know, he praised the coaching staff and Tibbs and said, you know, the Tibbs trust in him was important, et cetera. So it wasn't like he threw Tibbs under the bus, but
right.
I did find that revelation very, very interesting. You know, we'll see again, we'll see if it can continue. Like, he still needs to do a better job with it. Some, you know, it's just a personality thing. That I probably tend to have lend a little more credence to in terms of the success and or failure of a team. I remember, I think it was True Hoop that did a story, maybe like it was over 10, 15 years ago, but it tracked how many times Steve Nash high-fived his teammates. And it was just the kind of the thrust, the thesis was, you know, yes, he scores a lot of points and has a lot of assists, but his constant motivation and, say, you know, guys that say, my bad, you know, we'll see Grimes do that on occasion. It'd be nice to see Randall do that a little bit more, but it certainly points to the progress he's had this season is the maturity of the human being. I think sometimes we forget these are 26, 27, 28-year-old kids, you know, that are still learning how to deal with life and, you know, just kind of figuring all this stuff out as we do. So it's cool to see that progression result in a much deserved All-Star berth.
Definitely much deserved. Shout out to Julius Randle. And, you know, the fact that this is a signing that a lot of people weren't excited about, and you look back on it and now this is a two-time All-Star that Knicks signed in that offseason of disaster where they didn't get KD and Kyrie Irving. You know, not a terrible consolation prize. You really can't say that at this point. I mean, Julius Randle has been really solid. It's been up and down. It hasn't been necessarily the smoothest ride, but a second All-Star appearance with Julius Randle, a guy who was never an All-Star before he put on a Knick uniform, definitely a big accomplishment and really great for the Knick organization.
I'd have to look at the numbers, but in terms of total points and assists and rebounds, he probably has more than Kyrie and KD combined. Or KD and Kawhi Leonard combined since the day they said, obviously the goal was to get KD and whoever else he wanted to bring in that summer 2019. The consolation prize was Julius Randle just because, oh shit, we got this money. We got to spend it somehow. We got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, here they are.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are, Julius Randle going to his second All-Star game. He will be not alongside his teammate, Jalen Brunson, for now. Let's see.
Not yet.
Well, yes, not yet. But he will be with maybe Kevin Durant. Let's see if Kevin Durant actually plays. And supposedly Kyrie Irving, who Kyrie Irving was named an All-Star starter last week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.